think the Word of God is always seeking to speak to us when we read it, dealing with us in the circumstances where we are in life. And Paul was a great writer, as you know. He wrote many letters to the different churches that we have in the New Testament. And one of them is the little book of Philippians, 4 chapters long. In the first chapter, Paul is praising and giving thanks for the leadership and all it's done. But then in this second chapter, he kind of turns it. "This is what I want y'all to do," he says. "You know, you've been here in the church and you've been a part of this, but we're having some dissension. People are against people, groups against groups, and there's things going on. And I want us to get this thing straight." Now, Philippians is a little letter that you hear quoted a lot, especially thinking about the mind of Christ. All the different people in history, there have been those who have thought and said, if we could just have the mind of Christ in us, then we would be able to deal with the situations in life, because we could do it as Jesus would do it. It makes sense. Listen to these first 13 verses of this second chapter in the book of Philippians. "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one in mind, being in accord with one of one mind. Do nothing from selfish conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out for your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Now, Paul has been in prison, but he's had some privileges, or seems to have had, because he'd done so many things in prison. But here he's seeking to arouse this church to come alive and look to the one who is our Lord and Savior as the head of the church. What if we could have the mind of Christ in us, and we could show this mind of Christ by who we are as people of God and as members of the church? What kind of changes would it make in our lives to have this about us? Just think about this congregation we're in now, in this sanctuary. I know it's kind of wild thinking, but, you know, what if these walls could talk? Oh, yeah. Or they could repeat for us some of that wonderful, marvelous music that we hear from our choir now, and it's done so across the ages. What if the walls could talk and tell us about those who have come to meet the Lord, to profess His name, to seek to have the mind of Christ in their lives? What if they could tell us the names? Now, you know some of them because they've been your relatives and friends, and you could speak their names and they can still speak to you by words that they have said. How much would it take for us to be and to have the mind of Christ in our individual lives? Oh, these walls reek and are full of music and stories and life about who the people called who worshiped here in this community of faith and how they have lived and how they have shared across these years and what they have learned and what they would seek to have us to know. I think Paul is writing this letter in somewhat the sense like that. This is what we should do if we are to have the mind of Christ in our lives. And the scripture goes on to tell us exactly what Christ did. He humbled himself. He didn't try to grasp being God's son and say, since I'm the son of God, I'm not going to live, be brought up in Nazareth. I'm not going to work in the carpenter shop. I'm going to be in the high executive suites in Jerusalem with the church. I am God and I will do what I want to do. But he humbled himself. The scripture says he emptied himself. You know, can you think about emptying yourself? not doing those things that you want to do, but doing some things that somebody else wants you to do, like the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that to empty oneself, to become a slave, as it's described in this particular lesson. A slave who had no rights, no rights of anyone, only to do the master's bidding. And that's what Christ our Lord did. Worked in the carpenter shop, menial labor, hard work, to experience hunger and thirst and rejection. All of those things in the human condition Christ experienced. But he says that's what we have to do to be a servant. Even a servant that follows the will of his heavenly Father. Father, deliver me. But Jesus followed the will of his heavenly Father and went even have the life of death on a cross. You know, we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. It happens. Maybe some of you, have you ever been up to Asheville and gone on the Zoom tour? Get on the bus. It carries you around town, gives you historical facts, shows you some houses, and all the time, all along the way, we went for an hour and a half, and then we took a break, and then it went back for the second part of the tour. There were a lot of things going on there. Some funny people got on. One paraded as a nun. One as a preacher, street preacher. Well, all kinds of creatures came on the bus. You'd be riding down the street and talking about the building and so forth, and all of a sudden on the loudspeaker system, you'd hear another voice. And it would be the next character was going to get on the bus and talk to us. Now, we went by some houses, and people were on the front porch, and all of a sudden, we could hear them talking to us. It was fun. We had a big time. I mean, you had to be into it. It was something. But one of the guys that got on, little persons, people, that got on was a street preacher, and he was saying we needed to repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he came on the bus, and he had a, you know, name tag. And it, you know, it's about square. And he wrote on it, sinner. And he came and slapped it on right on my chest. So we laughed about it. I got to thinking about that thing. You know, he really wanted to emphasize we were all sinners. And I don't know why he picked me. I was on the end of the aisle. So, you know, I look like a good sinner. But I think he was trying to say we all are sinners in the aisle of God. We have all fallen short of his glory. Christ wants us to have in our minds as us being people who would like to live and to respond to the world like he would have us to respond. That means that we have to do it in his will. What would Jesus do? That might be a good question to ask sometimes before those critical decisions we make. What would Jesus do in the situations that we faced, whether it's simply opening a door for someone, or interacting, or intervening when there's something that's critical? What would Jesus do? He emptied himself, became a servant, and followed the will of his Heavenly Father, even to the cross. Where are we today in being the servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Would he have us all to come down to an altar to repent of our sins? Would he have us to sit in the pew and say, Lord, help me, for I need your loving grace through your Son, my Savior. Lord, inspire me through your Holy Spirit to be the person that I want to be. Help me to get through the situations that are happening. Help me, Lord, help me. Sinners cry out. We all cry out for the grace of God. In our life, in our church, in the circumstances we find ourselves in, we give thanks to God for giving us a Savior who would seek to be in us. In our lives, in our hearts, in our speech, in our eyes, in our actions, in our doings, God wants to be in us. And let that love be lived out through our lives. I'm not sure how we can all do it, but I know that we can through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would have us to pull together as a community of faith that we may glorify our Heavenly Father, that the grace of his presence may be upon us, and that we may be led by the power of his Holy Spirit to be his church this day and in days to come. Thanks be to God because he gives us a Savior. And it's Jesus the Christ. And we want to have his mind in our lives. Amen. Thank you. We want to tell each other what we believe. And I want us to use this affirmation of faith today to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As believers who believe that God is in our hearts and lives, we want to greet each other. Please turn and greet those around you and ask God's blessings upon you. We need to be a praying congregation that pray for each other and put feet on our prayers. So today we come to bring a list of some of those. Now you've seen those in the bulletin, have you not? The prayer list. There are many on there. And as I told you what Booty told me this morning, go to see some of those other sick people. But it's just His spirit. He's going to be there, and I love that attitude. But to keep up and know who needs prayers, we like to do that. And that's part of a praying congregation, a community of faith, reaching out in faith and in prayer. Have some others. Nancy Cole, she's first on our prayer list in the bulletin. Family of Elsie Harris. Family of Doris Fox. Betty Garrett. Now, Woody said in the early service this morning that she's been in the hospital about a week and a half and hopes in maybe another week and a half she'll be able to go back to Canterbury where she was. But he's pleased that she's doing better. And I was at the hospital yesterday and went by and spoke to her. She said, I sent Woody home to mow the grass. Mike Hendricks and family. And this last name, Bob Van Der Linden. Can I tell us who that is, Bob? Now, this last name is? Oh, John Westmoreland?
Yeah.
Okay, this is starts with V-A-N-D. Vandergarden. We want to remember them, and then John and Fran Westmoreland, because John has fallen. And
That's a friend.
That's a friend. Excuse me. We get it straight. This is John Westmoreland's friend. Thank you. It's hard to straighten a preacher out sometimes. We hope we'll remember these in our prayers. Are there others? Want to remember Bruce and Sue and their new walk of life. We want to remember the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide as it seeks to minister. And all the different things that are happening in life and in the world, and the wars, Ebola, and everything else that's going on. We need to lift up these in our individual prayers and in corporate prayers. Let us go to God in prayer.
Spirit.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you to lift up our prayers as a people of faith. We come to pray for ourselves, for our church, for our community. We come to pray for our world in which we are a part of, for all the different situations in life that are hurtful and harmful to so many people. We pray that somehow there may be some peace to be made by working through the lives of other persons. We pray that you may bring peace to our hearts and lives, stillness of mind and quietness of spirit, that we may feel the leadership and guidance of your Holy Spirit that seeks to give us the strength that we need and the leadership in our lives that we need to follow your will for our lives. We know that you know all about us. That's scary at times. But we know that you love us with a love that never gives up or gives in. A love that has come through the gift of new life through your Son, our Savior. Bless us, we pray, with strength, with courage, with uplifted eyes, that we may see you in all the ways of life that you reveal yourselves. And help us to recognize you in places that we have not noticed before, because we are so attuned to doing the things we want to do and what's going on in our lives. Bless us with grace and power us with wisdom. Sanctify us with your Holy Spirit and lead us that we may be your people, the people of God, who seek to lift up Jesus Christ our Lord, who has taught all of us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.